Good morning. Welcome back to First Talk with Hal Rowland, 1290 WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro. Our guest this morning, Mr. Anthony Cirillo. He is an author and entertainer, works with the older adults, and I found it to be very interesting because I saw a business connection here to an entertainment connection and found out there was music therapy involved, and I said, this is very interesting. I'd like to meet this gentleman. I think that our audience would as well. Mr. Cirillo, thank you very much for joining us this
morning.
Thanks
for having me.
Let's talk about how you got into this, because you are a performer now and you work with older adults, but let's talk a little bit about how you found your way into doing this.
Sure. Bit of a schizophrenic. You know, I have two careers, actually, were going on at one time. My day job, as we call it, was a hospital marketing PR executive in working in hospitals. And then another one, I was always a lifelong entertainer, always been entertaining and singing, playing in bands and all that kind of stuff. And the two never really met. You know, they were sort of parallel tracks. But then one day, working at the hospital, we have an adult medical daycare center, and they said, why don't you come entertain? Of course I did. And they said, you know, there's a whole world of places out there that you probably don't even realize that could use good entertainment. And being the marketing person I was, I put the hat on and really embraced it. But, you know, the funny thing happened along the way was that it kind of went from, okay, this is a nice way to make some side money, to, an avocation from singing became an advocacy for older adults, because two things happened. I realized that I was making a difference. You know, you could see instantly out of anything I did in my life, you know, hospital PR marketing, that's fine. But on an instantaneous gratification basis, you know, you're looking at these folks and you could see them come alive, when you're performing. And it was wonderful. So what it did for me was just, you know, tremendous.
Now, when you started performing, what was your, what was the act like? What was the show like? What did you take to the older adults? And have you changed that act or that performance a little bit over the years to help with that enlivening your audience?
Absolutely. I mean, I was a guy in a band, you know, that was the bass player, you know, who then someone's mother in the band said, you know, you sound like you might have a good voice. So I started singing, you know, and so I sort of became the lead singer who happened to play bass. That's sort of what I brought into the long-term care facilities was that background. But what this has done to was make me a performer, because, you know, I realized very quickly that to keep this audience engaged for a whole hour is very challenging. It's probably the most challenging type of performance you can do, because, you know, because of the limitations and whatnot, these folks, you know, can tend to wander or not pay strict attention. But and so it really made me have to become an entertainer. I frankly was quite aided with all of the computer gizmos that are out there that allowed me, you know, I couldn't do this 10 years or 15 years ago.
Right.
You'd have to cart a whole band into a facility. And now, you know, I press a couple buttons and boom, I have a show. So it really has transformed me from that guy just stood on a stage kind of stiff and sang, you know, to the guy who's now running around with a wireless mic and engaging people.
And from what I understand now, the show involves a lot of different factors. You're not only engaging the audience, there's comedy. We're going to hear some of the music that you have, because you've got some CDs. Tell us a little bit about the show when you come in.
Sure. I could actually step you through one of I use my February show as a good example. You know, I go in and say it's Valentine's, but it's not going to be exactly what you expect. You know, I usually say, it's songs about February, but you really won't know it until I explain it to you. You know, I deliberately seek to confuse, but... So you start off, I said, first of all, it's Valentine's in February, and, you know, you start off without a Valentine, right, you know, ladies and gentlemen, and then you all shake your hand, yeah, and I said, okay, ladies, you know, when a guy, you know, a young guy growing up, playing the field, you know, free, loose, and easy, what do you call him, you know, before you can have a Valentine, you're single, what do you call a gentleman? And they think about it, and I help them out a little bit, and they say, a gigolo. Yeah, that's right. And I said, but ladies, what are you? If the guys are gigolos, what are you? And some of them get right on the ball and say, a gigolette. I said, absolutely correct. And then, of course, I do I'm Just a Gigolo, which is an old Louis Prima song that actually was redone by rocker David Lee Roth later.
And when I went to your website, that's one of the ones that you can download different songs, and I downloaded that one. I said, pretty good job. This sounds great.
This guy might have a future.
This is good. Yeah. This is good stuff.
And so I said, okay, so that's, you know, that establishes that. And I also kid them, too, about, I kid the gentleman. I said, gentlemen, you know, not for nothing, but I envy you. Because just the way, you know, I work in the medical profession. way, you know, the genes are, and the pharmaceuticals and the technology, you know, people are living longer, and if you're lucky enough to be here, but, you know, the men are still trying to catch up here, you know. Let's face it, the women still live longer. You know, we're catching up, but the women still live longer. So if you're lucky enough to be in a place like this, look around you. 45 women to one. I said, I didn't have those odds when I was in high school. Yeah, right. I said, I want to come here. Come on, this is great. And so, you know, I use that sort of as a segue to the whole, you know, because Valentine's the whole romance thing. So then I go into, okay, you're single, but now you come to a place like this. And it actually makes a good point about these places, because the ones that have quality are really the ones that are embracing, you know, a big activity program and doing lots of things. So I said, you know, you come into the facility, and Sherry at Spring Arbor, for example, right here in Hickory, you know, has a program at night. And, you know, you look across the room and you spot somebody and they tickle your fancy and you say, I might be interested to get to know that person. But right now they're nothing more than a stranger, or as Frank Sinatra would say, a stranger in the night. Mm-hmm. So you meet that stranger in the night, and then you kind of go through a progression.
So you're able to take some of the things that are happening there, you mix them with the music, and you're able to give a message to these folks that obviously is very inspirational, very uplifting.
We try, absolutely, yeah. And so we go through the whole progression. You know, you become smitten. So you send red roses to a blue lady. You can't smile without you. I called to say I love you. Then the romance hits a rocky part, and you have crazy, you know, what was I thinking going out with that person? Yeah, I must have been, and I let him guess, and then crazy. And then I do Patsy Cline, of course. But then I also sing Copacabana. Well, what the heck's that all about? Well, that was, if you listen to the words of Copacabana, it was a crazy love triangle with Rico and Tony and Lola at the Copa, and who got shot. And then it all works out at the end with love and marriage.
A lot of these, when we come back, I want to talk about these. How do you go about selecting these, and how do you put this together? Because other than Copa, a lot of these are just standards. A lot of these are classics, like you said, the Gigolo remade by David Lee Roth. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are just timeless pieces that everybody's going to enjoy.
Sure.
We'll talk a little bit more about that when we return. Anthony Cirillo, author, entertainer, we'll hear maybe Unforgettable when we return. More after this. Good morning. Welcome back to First Talk with Hal Reynolds. 1290 WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro. Our guest this morning, Mr. Anthony Cirillo, author, entertainer. Also, we talked during the break about marketing. We'll talk a little bit about how what you have learned from the entertainment with the older adults you've been able to take into your career. But before we went to the break, we were talking about music selection. You're not an old guy. You're a young guy here. How do you go in and find these standards, and how do you pick these songs that you feel like that the people are going to like? How do you pick the songs that you feel will relate to this audience?
Well, good question. I mean, I guess I was raised well, let's put it that way. I grew up in a household, I'm from Philadelphia originally, and we have a show back in Philly, it's still on the air, it's called Friday with Frank and Sunday with Sinatra. And my dad would, you know, listen to this faithfully. It's been on the air for 50 years or so. And you know, I grew up with Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all the great standards, and so I have a real appreciation for it. But I could quickly switch hats. I mean, I have the most fun when I strap my guitar on and I'm doing just private parties or things like that, and I'm jamming on the guitar and I'm being the real rock and roll king. But I grew up with a really widespread, you know, appreciation of music in all genres. So, but actually, when I first started in these places, I would do a lot of the traditional types of things that you would expect without any themes going on. They were just songs that really, you know, could relate to the audience. I would say, even when I first started, I kind of tried to mix it up a little bit, because there's a stereotype even of entertainers in these places. You know, the band, you know, it's the piano player, or it's the guy who's going to play the banjo, and he's going to call, you know, Let Me Call You Sweetheart. Right. Well, you know, I might do Let Me Call You Sweetheart, but I'm just as soon in my January program, if I say one of your New Year's resolutions is to get exercise, to do the YMCA. And so really it all depends on the theme, and that's how I kind of worked into theme. So over the years, and I guess I've been doing this, well, full-time for the last, since I moved to the Carolinas, this particular audience for maybe 10 years. And when it first started, it was just songs. Songs, you know, I think I'm blessed with a pretty good voice. God bless me that way. But I, you know, it still wasn't at the point where I was yet the entertainer. And part of being the entertainer was putting the songs together.
And putting these themes together.
Yeah,
like we just
exactly.
Found out. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit. Susie, if you would, get it queued up. We're going to hear Unforgettable this morning. Anthony Cirillo, he'll be entertaining here in our area next week. And a website all up and down the East Coast. So, Susie, if you would, let's hear a little bit of Unforgettable.
Unforgettable. someone so unforgettable thinks that I am unforgettable too.
Now, you were telling me as we were listening to this, it sounds great, by the way,
that
a lot of this is, you do this in a home studio. A lot of the guitars are yours?
Yes.
Tell us about that, right?
Yeah. Well, I have some, they're called MIDI files. A lot of people know what they are. You have them on your computer a lot. And they're orchestrations. And some of them I do myself, and some of them I purchase. And then I enhance them, of course, with the guitars, with bass, with harmony. I have a gizmo, you know, basically I could sing into it and breaks my voice into five-part harmony. I mean, it's just wonderful. And so I do everything in the home studio and mix it all myself, and then I send it out to a gentleman who has a small record label on the West Coast. And what he does is he does all the mechanical things, like, you know, he pays all the royalties and gets,
right,
you know, all that kind of stuff. But a local designer did my covers, and you know, it's really worked out nice.
I like this because as I was looking at the website, again, what is it? So people can look
at it. Sure. www.anthonyssong, that's ANTHONYSSONG.com,
right.
Two S's in the middle.
Very good. I was looking at it, and I thought it was great because you've got these themes, not only in your performance, not only in the show, but you take them in the CDs. We got Ringing in the New Year, Pasta and Potatoes, which I thought was kind of interesting. April Showers. I mean, you have something for and the songs are thematic. So
yes.
I guess this is part of it, continues from the CD from what you do in your show.
And where it'll go next, the plan is, especially for activity directors in these long-term care facilities, is what I will do is put activity guides around these because they all have themes. You know, why do I do the songs I do in February? Well, I could tell a story, first of all, of why I do it. Then you could tell the history of each of the songs. Then you could say, well, what artist made it famous? And you could tell the history of that. And all those become, I mean, a one CD that might take 48 to 50, you know, minutes to play, if you were just listening to it, can actually become an activity that could last
a month easily.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it makes, obviously, the value I bring even better. So.
This has got to be a lot of fun for you, but we were also talking that in your career and in marketing with hospitals, you're able to have a certain awareness, a certain sensitivity by going in and interacting with older adults that you did not have before. Maybe you'd like to speak to that.
Sure. I mean, when I was sitting in the seat of hospital marketing and PR person before I, you know, started entertaining for this audience, you certainly have a stereotype, and a lot of things I talk about in my book, you know, the stereotypes of what an older adult is. You know, you sort of write them off after a certain age, and as if they're, you know, there's no purpose in their life, and there's, you know, they're just sitting around, you know, watching TV, twiddling their thumbs, and you know, I find people who are still very much leading a quality life, staying active, making friendships, engaging their mind, and so you have much more of an appreciation of who these people are.
I want to talk about your book when we return. The title of the book is Who Moved My Dentures?
Exactly.
We'll talk about Who Moved My Dentures when we return. Our guest this morning, Mr. Anthony Cirillo, author, entertainer, consultant to the healthcare industry, and able to give back some of the awareness and sensitivity he's gained as an entertainer. More First Talk right after this. Good morning. Welcome back to First Talk with Hal Rowe on 1290 WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro. Our guest this morning, Mr. Anthony Cirillo, author, entertainer, also a consultant to the healthcare industry, and able to take a lot of what he has found out in healthcare and working with healthcare facilities into his program, into entertainment, and has taken from working with older adults a certain awareness and sensitivity back into his career in the healthcare field and consulting field. Let's talk a little bit about your book, Who Moved My Dentures? Love the title. How did you come up with a book? What made you decide you wanted to write a book?
Well, I was spending, you know, I'm a writer. You know, you work in public relations and marketing, you're a writer. And I was going to these facilities, and I was seeing so much good that was going on, so I first just started collecting stories. There was a wonderful gentleman, for example, in Forest City, Pennsylvania, up in the mountains. Every time I would go to this facility, he would greet me. He wore his nice sweater vest and his tie, and he was just a nice old gentleman, and his name was Milton. And actually, he passed away this past week, and it was very sad for me. You know, I've become very attached to these folks. But I said, Milton has a story. And I sat down with him in a cafe in this very small town on a snowy New Year's Eve, you know, morning, and just explored his life. And, you know, he told me all the wonderful things that he had done in his life and his, you know, career in the service. And so I started writing stories. I didn't know what I was going to do with the stories. And then I had enough of them where I started looking and seeing, you know, you talk about the theme of the program. Well, I saw a theme. What I saw is that there's a lot of good that goes on in nursing facilities and assisted living facilities, long-term care in general, that people don't realize. There's such a bad rap that they have, and from, you know, lots of negative press over the years, you know, the stereotype of, you know, mom and dad are going to go in there, they're going to get abused and beaten and all that, you know, to inadequate care and all this kind of good. Well, the people who, I guess, take the time to bring someone like me in and have a quality entertainment program is reflective of the facility itself. Right. So I happen to see a lot of good that goes on. So what I did was I started writing about it, and the premise of the book is I raise a myth in every chapter about long-term care living, and then I dispel it through a human interest story. And what I'm trying to do is really two things. Keep the respect and dignity for our older adults alive, and so that people realize that these people are still living lives. You know, their lives aren't over because they're in these places. They still have purpose and meaning, and they're still doing things. And the other thing, which is probably just as important for people my age in their 40s, boomers, caregivers, is you really should learn about these places now so that you're not bowled over when there's a crisis and you have to learn about them in that respect. You know, you really need to educate yourself sooner so you could just have an appreciation for what's going on. So should anything ever need arise, you'll know, you'll have an appreciation.
I do want to get this in quickly because I do want to hear another track. I want to come back to the book. You're nobody till somebody loves you. As growing up, you always watched the Dean Martin. In our house, you watched the Dean Martin show.
Oh, and gold
this
diggers.
Is, absolutely. And this is one of the ones that Dino did, and this is one of the ones that everybody, you know, liked to sing. Tell us about how this fits into your program. This is what month? This is what
this theme? Is February, and, you know, after you go through the whole romance thing, and then I do all the traditional ones, all the heart songs, Achy Breaky Heart, I Left My Heart in San Francisco, Heart of My Heart, and all this thing, but I leave the program saying, but, you know, the bottom line with love and Valentine is, you know, we're nobody in life unless somebody loves us,
Susie,
and that's
would,
how
please?
I bring it out.
Thank you, Susie. We were talking how much you get out of this, because, you know, you were telling me that you go in and you do these songs and you interact with these people. You're shaking hands, you're talking with people, and it's a little different from maybe than what they're used to when someone comes in for entertainment, because you really try to work with the individuals. And you were telling me you get a great deal of joy out of that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I people really don't know what to expect when I first get in there, especially the first time in. And, you know, I'm a good-natured heckler, you know. If I find one good victim in the audience, they just love it, because then they all pounce on it, you know, and we have fun. But they all know it's in good humor. But I try to be as interactive as possible. The song selections are obviously different than I think a lot of people. The fact that I have themes, I go around, and like I said, if somebody's is physically incapable of actually raising their head to look at me, I'll be on the floor essentially looking up at them and saying, hey, I'm glad you came. You know, a lot of people are hesitant to come to a program, and then after they come to a program, it's like the world, you know, big revelation, and that is so fulfilling to me. And I have people have come up, you know, I've had people come up, and it could be the anniversary of a husband's death or a wife's death, and just say, you know, your program was so uplifting to me today, and it brought such joy and such songs. I mean, I gave a lot to them, but man, can you imagine what I get back when you hear something like that? I mean, you go home and you're just buzzing because, again, right there, instant gratification. You have done something good and you could see it. How many professions in life do you know that you're actually doing something that you can actually, you know, measure right then and there? And
it's so gotta
great.
Be a blast. I like the term buzz too, because it's gotta be the feeling. When we return, we'll talk more with Anthony Cirillo. He'll be entertaining here in Hickory, I believe, next week. Entertains from New York to Florida. Anthony's Songs. Anthony's songs, two S's in the middle, .com. More First Talk after this. Good morning. Welcome back to First Talk with Hal Rowe on 1290 WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro. If you want to find out more about our guest this morning, Anthony Cirillo, go to anthonysong.com. That's A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-S, song.com. And they got a calendar there on the website. That's what I found, and found out the performances literally from New York to Florida. So visit the website, anthonysong.com, and check out the calendar there. Mr. Cirillo, of course, will be in Hickory next week. And before we leave this one, because we've got just a couple minutes left, a couple of the myths that you were talking about dispelling in Who Moved My Dentures. Maybe if you could help us with that this morning, a couple of the misconceptions that you deal with, or maybe some of the more common misconceptions that people have.
Well, I think the most obvious one is if somebody's going into a nursing facility, it's a place to go to die. And I totally reverse it in my book and say it's a place to go to live. And I tell a human interest story of a woman named Jean, for example, up in New Jersey, who was 90-something years old, kind of mentally and physically borderline as far as maybe still being able to live at home or with her son. Essentially, said, this place has given me a second lease on life. She's doing things she never did before. She was a mild-mannered housewife. She was more of an observer of life and not a participant. Here she's a participant. She speaks her mind. She participates in my programs. She's active and just keeping her mind engaged. And this is a place where, you know, it's a nursing facility, but it's a place to live for her, not to die, you know.
That's one of the myths. Tell us about maybe one more before we wrap up this morning that we have in the book. Not a place to die, but a place to live. And another one that maybe that people commonly think of.
Well, I think that people think that there's rampant abuse that goes on in these facilities. And actually, if you look at some of the statistics, you know, maybe 3% of 18,000 facilities actually can be documented that have abuse going on. And so in the book, I actually have chapters about agencies that police this industry to let people know that there are people, there are watchdogs out there helping you. And I'm an ombudsman in Charlotte. I'm part of that team that goes out and visits places as well. Lots of other myths and to dispel and great stories to tell.
How do we get the book? How do we get the CDs? Website, best place?
Website's the best place. You can order online, or you can print out an order form from the website and just mail it to me.
Now, a lot of the performances in some of these facilities, maybe someone wanted to come in and join us. What do? You call ahead reservations and say, I'd like to come in. Maybe I'd like to take a look at your facility. Maybe I'd like a little tour and hear Mr. Cirillo. Is that a way to set that up?
The facilities are very accommodating, I find, by and large. But it's always good to maybe call ahead, call the activity director, say, I understand Anthony's performing. Can I come in and watch? And they're usually very good about that. And they would love it, actually, because it's a marketing tool, too.
So, yeah, you get to go in. You get to see a great show. You get to tour the facility.
Right.
And for folks our age, whether we're looking for us, whether we're looking for our parents, you say to go in and get familiar with the scene, get familiar with these facilities, so that whether it's a parent or whether it's us, heaven forbid, that something should happen to us at our young age, but if we would have to be there, and, of course, looking for the future, you're a big proponent of getting in there and finding out more.
Yeah, and absolutely. And in the back of the book, I have hints and tips of how to choose these places, what to look for, a glossary of common terms and things like that. So there's a lot of good information in the back, but nice stories in the front.
Very good. Our guest this morning, Mr. Anthony Cirillo, author, entertainer. The name of the book is Who Moved My Dentures? Of course, a great variety of CDs online. Contact him through his website. The best way to reach him is through the website. And you can do that at Anthony's Song. That's A-N-T-H-O-N-Y-S, song.com. Mr. Cirillo, I want to thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thanks for all the work that you do with our older adults. We really do appreciate it, and we wish you the very best continuing in your career.
Thanks so much for having me.